Hi, I'm Jack Cotterella with The Bulwark, and I'm just so tired of us indulging with the Trump fake tough guy act. This is probably the most insecure person in the country, and we allow him to act like he is this strong man, especially on the world stage. Trump just coming off of his like world tour, acting like the tough guy, acting like the big man, acting like any world leader is intimidated by him, when in reality, they kind of just play him. Trump was gifted a crown and almost served like what was essentially McDonald's on one of these state visits. I think world leaders understand how to appeal to Trump, especially Xi Jinping, who Donald Trump was confronted about the conversation they had in a 60 Minutes interview that Donald Trump did today, which really, again, shows how insecure he is and really his misunderstanding of foreign policy. But before we get into that clip in which Trump got some well-deserved pushback, finally, I want to start with his analysis of how he thinks his world tour went, because I think it's a little bit different than everyone else's perception.
But overall, I guess on the scale of from 0 to 10, with 10 being the best, I would say the meeting was a 12. Okay, I think it was a 12.
Okay. A 12 out of 10. For what, you might ask? What did Trump get out of any of these conversations, besides hopefully a little media attention away from the Epstein files, a government shutdown he can't negotiate his way out of, 42 million people losing their food assistance? Did we get anything? No, Donald Trump has probably once again like bumped up the number of the investment that he always is claiming whenever he goes on some trip, some state visit. He always says that that nation is always going to be investing like more than their GDP in the private sector in America. But Trump was getting some pushback on all of this during his interview. And the clip really just sheds light again on this insecurity, on Donald Trump's fundamental misunderstanding of the reason why he was taking what I can only just call like a distraction trip, because there was no purpose. And Trump gave that away with what he said about Taiwan right here.
One potential flashpoint with China, probably the potential flashpoint with China in the coming years, is over the issue of Taiwan. The Chinese military is encroaching on Taiwan's sea lanes, its airspace, its cyberspace. I know you have said that Xi Jinping wouldn't dare move militarily on Taiwan while you're in office. But what if he does? Would you order U.S. forces to defend Taiwan?
You'll find out if it happens. And he understands the answer to that.
Why not say
this? This never even came up yesterday as a subject. He never brought it up. People were a little surprised at that. He never brought it up because he understands it, and he understands it very well.
Do you mind if I ask, when you say he understands, why not communicate that publicly to the rest of us?
Well,
what does he understand?
I don't want to give away. I can't give away my secrets. I don't want to be one of these guys that tells you exactly what's going to happen if something happens. The other side knows, but I'm not somebody that tells you everything because you're asking me a question, but they understand what's going to happen, and he is openly said, and his people have openly said at meetings, we would never do anything while President Trump is president, because they know the consequences.
But what are the consequences? More importantly, the idea of Xi Jinping bringing up Taiwan is laughable. Why would he bring it up? Why would any Chinese dictator ever bring it up? That is your job. Your job is to project strength, to ask those questions. And if you're not, what's the purpose of these trips? Trump, before that meeting, announced that for the first time in decades, we would be testing our nuclear arsenal, something that makes no sense other than just Donald Trump's idea of intimidation. Again, this is projecting out the tough guy act. The insecurity is very clearly underlying this. But you should be asking those questions. And if you want to project strength on the world stage, you would. I think the pushback was good, but we also have to keep in mind that this is now Barry Weiss's CBS, and she's running the show. So, of course, questions around the most pressing matters of U.S. foreign policy and Donald Trump's inability to do diplomacy are met with, oh, dear Leader Trump, I'd like to gently push you on why you're not actually doing your job And we are only getting this clip. It's a bit of a teaser from what will be the rest of the 60 Minutes interview. But considering that if there is even one edit in this, I think someone should probably sue 60 Minutes, considering that that is now the legal precedent that Donald Trump has set. I'm not sure that this is going to be like earth-shattering journalism. But once again, this shows that Donald Trump has fundamentally misunderstood what his role is in this diplomacy. And any state visit that he has taken, he has gotten what? And especially on this last trip, Donald Trump is the first president in American history to leave the country during a government shutdown, and not just to go play golf or fuck off with some new construction, to leave the country. And so you'd think that there would be something for us all to gain out of it, considering that this is the America First presidency in which we hand out billions of dollars to Argentina, but there wasn't. Donald Trump said that this was a 12 out of 10 tour because he got a hamburger and a gold crown and got to say that he's a big, strong, tough guy who's like firing off nukes again. I don't know, but that's the point. He doesn't know. And it's a good thing that he got pushback, no matter how gentle it was, only to reveal, again, Trump doesn't really seem to care. There was no actual point to this trip. I think we kind of have to come down on that. I'm not the biggest fan of calling everything a distraction, but certainly at the time in which Donald Trump is facing historic unpopularity, every poll is worse and worse and worse for this administration, because why wouldn't it be? Donald Trump is happy to starve people right now. Folks are seeing their healthcare premiums double and triple. It's no wonder that he would like to shift a little bit of attention by bleeding crazy shit at 3 a.m. while he's on state visits that amount to nothing, because that's kind of what Donald Trump is after, the flattery. And that's it. Because while this is the America First administration, what's happening at home? Again, people are starving, and Donald Trump is purposefully doing so. That was pointed out by Congresswoman Laura Friedman on Fox, and a clip that I think is really important to this larger discussion that Republicans have had, or this narrative that they're trying to push about SNAP. I think this clip really is how Democrats need to be framing the conversation while Trump is abroad, or I guess golfing.
Surely you guys, and I don't mean Democrats, I mean you guys, as in our elected representatives, need to find a way to move this forward without going back to these positions. No, we won't do this until they do that. Well, that has to be a middle ground, Congresswoman.
I agree. And look, a lot of the benefits for SNAP, for instance, are highest in red states, in red southern states. But it doesn't matter to me that these people voted for Donald Trump. It doesn't matter to me if they're MAGA. I don't care. I don't want to see any American go hungry. When I'm here in the district every weekend, I have people coming up to me nonstop at the grocery store, on the street, saying, please stand strong. Don't give in. I can't lose access to health care. This is too important for me, too important for my family. So that is a bright line for me, something that my constituents have been extremely clear about. We have been talking about the SNAP benefits now, about this being a risk, for weeks now. It is my position, it's been the position of AGs, it's been the position of the Democratic Party, that the emergency reserves in the SNAP program were meant exactly for a government shutdown and other funding interruptions. Why do we think that? Because it's literally written into the bill. Why did it take a court order for the Trump administration to do the right thing and prevent Americans from going hungry? Why did the Trump administration say, we're not going to release SNAP funds, sue us? Why did it take a judge saying, this is clearly written into the bill that these emergency funds are to be used in case of a government shutdown, feed Americans? Why did it take that? But instead of scrambling to find a way to fill people's EBT cards and make sure they don't go hungry, we've got a president who spent half the night tweeting photos of his new gilded bathroom so that he can be comfortable when he goes and has a poo.
Moving on from that as quickly as we can.
Well, we're not going to move on from that. I don't think we should move on from that. I think this is entirely the point. And I think Republicans realize that trying to push this narrative at the beginning of the shutdown that they thought that they would win on. And it's kind of funny that usually when we're having these conversations, it's kind of like Democrats doing the more procedural, jargony talking points about the Senate parliamentarian, and there's a filibuster, and there's this many votes, and we're going to... And that's now like the footing that Republicans are on. Like, they're kind of on the back foot. Like, John Thune is talking about procedure. Well, Democrats are just finally making it very clear that your premiums are doubling and tripling, that Donald Trump wants to steal away health care for millions of people so he can pay for the largest transfer of wealth in history. But I also think that now it is important for us to hammer the conversation around SNAP, because obviously Republicans have realized, okay, we're failing on this healthcare line, that the illegals are stealing your healthcare. That hasn't seemed to work. Now let's go invoke some more racist tropes by talking about SNAP. And that is exactly what's happening. I couldn't tell you how many disgusting, bigoted, conservative influencer creators were like doing blackface with like fried chicken, being like, oh, I'm taking my SNAP benefits. First of all, nothing gets me more upset than this conversation around free speech, that somehow the right has co-opted the conversation like, oh, my antisocial behavior, like, oh, I put on blackface for Halloween and people don't like me anymore, and said, hey, maybe you should be fired and like kicked out of society for being a bigot and being a freak. And now that they've equated that with like the state inflicting itself on people's ability to speak on a college campus, to write an op-ed, to have a photo of fat-faced J.D. Vance while they're entering the country. Those are two wildly different things. Little rant there. But I think it's important that we talk about the fact that Republicans have now latched onto this issue, and they're trying to evoke racist tropes to change the narrative around the shutdown. Right, they're saying, okay, well, we can't land the plane on healthcare being the problem, and Democrats selling you out to illegals because they are not America first. So we're going to be America first by denying children food. Is that what it is? Because that's what's happening right now. I don't know how this is America first when you're saying that, oh, it's the fault of 42 million people that they're going to be going hungry. And that's what I hear from Republicans right now, is that why are 42 million people on SNAP? Well, it's because we haven't changed the federal minimum wage in decades. People aren't paid living wages. Do you know who's the biggest beneficiary of SNAP benefits? It's not the racist welfare queen that some Republican wants to conjure up in your mind. We saw a Republican congressman the other day say people on SNAP should stop smoking crack and get jobs. Well, these people do have jobs, not paying them enough to be able to afford to live. The biggest culprit of that being Walmart, who is having their profits subsidized by SNAP benefits because they don't pay their employees enough to actually afford to live, to afford to feed themselves and their families, no matter how many hours they work. And at the same time, Walmart is now set to lose billions because people's EBT cards aren't being funded, because that money is spent there. So maybe we look at the profits and the billions of the Walton family rather than evoking these racist tropes. But one of the worst tweets I saw about SNAP, I just have to talk about to close, because I need to rant about this for 30 seconds. So some random blue check conservative account wrote on Twitter, the point of EBT is to ensure people don't starve to death. That's it. Even if we agree that's a worthwhile goal, I'd hope we do, it can be achieved with Nutriloaf. Nutriloaf provides the correct incentives. You won't starve and you'll be motivated to earn enough money to eat real food again. And in the description that they post, that they show on Google, it says, Nutriloaf is a bland, nutritionally complete food, often called prison loaf, served to inmates who misbehave. Okay, before I freak out, let me first say that these people, for about 3-4 years, have been saying that we need to stop sending our money to Ukraine so we can feed Americans at home. And now that it's time to feed Americans at home, they are suggesting prison slop. The conservatives who told you that the Democrats were going to create breadline society in America, which, by the way, is what's happening right now in the United States, because Donald Trump's economic policies are so fucked that people have to turn to food pantries because of skyrocketing costs and this idiotic shutdown that he has caused. Those same people are now saying that we should torture those who work a 40-hour work week, unable to feed their families because of the economic system that we have created, and which billion-dollar corporations are being subsidized by not paying their employees with SNAP. It is not people who are mooching off this program. It is not a crime if a kid gets a cookie. It is giant corporations not paying nearly enough for people to be able to eat. What is America First about anything that these conservatives want. Donald Trump is off having a world tour for we don't know what yet still, because he won't talk about tariffs. He won't talk about Taiwan. He won't close a deal, which aren't happening anymore. And at home, people are starving as conservatives offer up prison loaf. That is Trump's America. What could possibly be America First about this? With The Bulwark, I'm Jack Cottarella, and I'm a little pissed today.